Our scripture today is Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. And this is God's calling of Abram. You've heard some of the story here. Keep in mind, Abram had a good life. He had everything he needed. He, you know, was well settled, but he took a leap of faith when God called to him. Hear these words. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And keep in mind, you're never too old to accept a calling from God if you take a leap of faith. Will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, the rain coming down in sheets, the sound deafening as it hits the lake but inches away, the cool October air freezing with the wind, leaves and small sticks being tossed about, the bank at the water's edge turning into a squishy quagmire of silty, stinky mud, rocks you know are there are suddenly obstacles. Grabbing the few short shrubs for balance seems sensible, yet in hindsight, foolhardy. Suddenly a dusky wood duck hen and her young burst forth from the edge of a patch of rushes. The shrub used for balance pulls loose from the mud, and the world is now upside down. A blue jay laughs nearby. No matter the weather, it is always a grand and glorious day to be witness to your creation. We bring you song, prayer, and thanks for this and every day, and are humbled by the grace extended to us. Father God, life is messy. We do not always get that bright, sunny day. Obstacles are thrown in our way. We have to get down and get dirty. Our sense of balance is thrown off. We make plans, and you laugh. Every life and everything on this small blue ball in the cosmos has been touched by COVID. Some with great tragedy as family and friends have been called back to you. All of us have had lives turned upside down in some way or another, and all things are now different. Some changes just minor inconveniences. Others forever changed in profound ways. No one is happy. Father, our worship of you has also had to change. The format planned, but there are those not happy with it. We are concerned that we may not be pleasing you. We feel we are not fulfilling your commission to feed my sheep. To move forward as a congregation, we must make changes. We must come to a table speaking different languages and clear a path through the rocks and mud. We must compromise on things, and for that to happen, we need your help and guidance. Please be with us during this time and guide us and keep us balanced. Father God, we know that forging a new worship path will be difficult. We know that it will require sacrifice for everyone in the congregation and that we cannot please everyone. We understand that we must put our own wants aside and seek what you want of us, what you ask of us, what is pleasing to you, and that we must move forward with grace and understanding. Father, please bless us with both. We ask that you will be with the Worship Reboot team as well as this congregation and give all inspiration and blessing in their quest. Father, be with us today. Bless us and speak through our pastors. And may the message bring us closer to you. Thank you for your patience with us. For it is in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen.
Sabbaticals are amazing and can also be terribly wonderful. At least that's my experience for the last four sabbaticals that I have had the privilege of taking over 32 years of ordained ministry. Some of you might wonder about the phrase, terribly wonderful. I mean, after all, isn't that an oxymoron to be terribly wonderful? So it may seem. The first time I pondered that phrase, though, was in reference to a context different from my sabbatical. My good friend and mentor, Dr. Toni Craven, and you'll see a picture of her on the screen, Hebrew Bible professor at Bright Divinity School, where I went to school, and one of my bosses for several years, great friend, described the months following a debilitating stroke she had about 10 years ago. And the first time in her life, she was unable to communicate with others using her words. Can you imagine? She totally knew what was going on. She could understand everything that was being said. She could understand everyone. But her brain damage prevented her from being able to form words of response. A year later, after her recovery, I went to see her, and as she described what happened during that time, I remember her saying something like this, that it was an amazing experience filled with terror and wonder. Stunned by the description, I asked her, why? Why was it that for you? And Toni said, for the first time in my life, I had to rely not on my grace and my goodness and my perfection and my ability to communicate, but I had to learn to lean on the grace of God and the grace and goodness of others. That experience after the stroke was terrible and frightening, but there were gifts of wonder too. During those months of being unable to speak, I learned to listen in a new way, to hear God's voice, and to see the world around me differently. That brought me to a profound sense of gratitude. Today we celebrate our faith together in worship, and we begin a new sermon series based on Susan Robb's book called Called, Hearing and Responding to God's Voice, through the lens of several biblical characters whose stories tell us not only about their call from God, but also something about ourselves and the call of God on our lives today. So we're going to be looking today at the father of the Hebrew people and ultimately of us all as Christians, Abraham, and the call upon which, as one theologian says, is the linchpin of the entire Bible. Old and New Testaments. The call? Go from your country and your relatives and your father's house to a land I will show you. Let us now join together in prayer as we seek to hear God's word to us and God's call for us today. Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful for this time in worship when we get to ponder your word that we find in Scripture, in the stories of faith that give us faith and confidence in you as our Lord and Savior. And so I pray right now, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations within our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, let's remember again the story of Abraham, or Abram, as he is first introduced. Abram, which means mighty father, or father of many. He's first introduced, actually, in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, where we find a genealogy that ends with the house of Terah, who had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, Abram's brother Haran died before the rest of the family started a migration from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. Now, I don't think I realized, did you, that Abram's family actually already started a journey to Canaan. But I'm going to show you a map here on the screen, and you'll see that where they started was near where Babylonia is on the eastern side of the map. And they made their way northwest up past Assyria up to Haran. And that is where the family settled for some time, we are told, until Terah, the patriarch of the family, dies. And that's where we come to our text for today in chapter 12, where Abram receives this call from God. And the call comes as Abram is at a crossroads. Many times our calls come when we're at a crossroads, right? A time of great uncertainty in Abram's life. His father and his younger brother have died. His orphaned nephew, Lot, is in his care. He and his wife, Sarai, are having infertility issues. He's 75 years old, and he gets this call. Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. Now, I don't know many people who have done this before. Perhaps you do. Who've experienced the movement from one's native land to another land. But I can imagine that one who knows well the wrenching feeling of leaving all that's loved and familiar for an unknown place with its different languages and its different cultures and money and customs. And if that were not difficult enough, leaving one's land also means leaving one's relatives. Leaving them behind with all the anxiety and pain associated with that separation. And remember, this was not in a time where you could pick up the phone and call your loved ones. You were going to be separated and not talk to each other. And lastly, and perhaps most dangerously, the chosen one is asked to go to the darkest wilderness to a land I will show you. Where is this unknown place? How is one to find it? Is it a long journey? How perilous will it be traveling to these mysterious lands? These are monumentally difficult demands that are being made on Abram. You know, I think sometimes when we read this story, we might forget how daunting the call is, right? I mean, when I was young and first heard this story, I remember thinking, man, that's really cool to get a call from God, leave everything behind, say, see you later, and go on this amazing journey with God. How exciting it must be. Of course, I was a young person then, much younger than I am now. And I think since I've gotten older, there's been a few things that have happened. Maybe I've gotten a little more mature. Maybe I've become a little more cautious, although I am known not to be so cautious at times. And to be quite honest, there, I think I would have a pretty good dose of fear involved in this call. Maybe God would say, or I would say to God, okay, Lord, maybe if you give me a map or GPS, I would really appreciate a GPS, but if you could just give me a map or maybe just even some binoculars so I can see a little bit further down the way, see what I'm coming up on, prepare for whatever might struggle might come my way. I'd really like to know what I'm facing over the next hill or around the next corner. I'm just saying. But when God called, we are told Abram went. Of course, God does sweeten the deal a bit if Abram will say yes to the call. Look with me again at verses 2 and 3. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. So, if Abram says yes to the call, he's going to reap a benefit like none other. He'll become a household name. He will be famous. In fact, not only will he be blessed, we are told he will bless the entire world, God says. Pretty good stuff. But the really good news is that Abram isn't responsible for making any of that happen. No, God is going to make everything happen. The great nation, the respected name, the blessings, Abram's positive influence on the world, all of it. In order to receive this purpose-filled life, the only requirement that Abram is to do is to go. All he has to do is be obedient to God's call. Now, just to be clear, the story of Abram is not finished here, right? If you read the next several chapters of Genesis, and I hope this week that you will, you'll see that this call takes a long time to fulfill. Who can tell me how old Abram was when he received the call? Just shout it out. 75. How old was he before he saw the reality of the promise that he would be the father of many with the birth of his child. How old was he? 99 years old. Friends, do the math. That's 24 years. 24 years. And during these 24 years, if you read the story, there's a lot of impatience and dysfunction and failure and repentance and many, many renewals of the covenant between God and Abraham. But here's the thing. Every time Abram and Sarai flub up, God remains faithful. And that's a good word for you and me today, amen? For you see, when things are rough in our lives and when we fail others or others fail us, God does not forget us. God does not leave us. God continues to reach out to us to initiate the relationship. God still calls us. And in this story, I want us to remember, as Rob so rightly said, that age does not determine the efficacy of God's call. In fact, God can call us to a new thing if we have ears to hear, even and especially later in life. During my sabbatical, one of the people who reminded me of this truth is my sabbatical consultant and friend, Dr. Rita Nakashima Brock, who is the senior vice president and the director of the Shea Moral Injury Center for the Volunteers of America. Rita spent her life as a theologian and a professor in higher education, but about 10 years ago, she found herself with a new call by God to work with veterans who were exhibiting soul injuries that were contributing to an alarming rise in the rate of suicide in our country. Over the past 20 years, during the wars that we have been involved in, the suicide rate has risen for U.S. veteran communities to 22 suicides a day. 22 suicides a day. And due to Rita's work and research, moral injury is becoming a term that is recognized and acknowledged by both the Pentagon as well as the faith communities to acknowledge and to learn and to develop partnerships with each other so that these invisible wounds of war can be addressed and the process of healing can begin. And it is through Rita's work that my own work with moral injury as it relates to a larger group of people is taking shape. Dr. Brock, who is well into her 70s, tells me that she is now doing the most important work of her life, and she sees no end to this call. That was incredibly encouraging to me because I'm a spring chicken when you put us side by side. But here is what I know in my bones. God's call continues. Amen? Amen. And that's not only true for Rita and for me. It is also true for each and every one of you. Come to a place that I will show you, says the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean packing your bags and taking up stakes and leaving the area. But it does mean that knowing God will take us from where we are step by step into that future as we trust that it is God's intention to bless each of us as we become a blessing to others. A few weeks ago, I was talking with my mother-in-law, Myrna, about all of this. And as some of you know, the past couple of years have been very hard on her. She's been in the hospital 5 or 6 times. She's had 4 surgeries. She's had a lot of health issues that have been very difficult. She said, I'm 84 years old. I don't know what I can do, but I want to do something. And so I said, pray about it. Pray about it. Think about your gifts and your passions. And know that if God could call Abram over a 24-year period that began at the age of 75, God can call you, Myrna Diamond, at 84 years old, and you can do great things for God, too. And so, a few days later, she prayed about it, because she's a prayer. And she said she believed that she'd received her marching orders from God. And I said, what did God tell you? Myrna is going to lead our Christians for Critters ministry this year. And she is so excited about it. That's an arm of Florence Christian Church that is dedicated to the service of our four-legged friends with their human families. Myrna's especially concerned about those who have pets but maybe don't have the financial resources to meet their daily needs. And so what is she doing? She's making phone calls right now to some of you in the FCC family who she wants to ask to help on this journey. There may be some of you who that sparks an interest in. Please call her and let her know if you're interested in being a part of that ministry. She's also making appointments for visiting with grocery store managers for donations of pet food and cat litter and other kinds of resources. She's reaching out to shelters to see about partnerships there. She's even going to be reaching out to some automotive industries to see if she can get some support and grants from them. Myrna knows that accepting a call is a responsibility. A responsibility. It doesn't just mean say yes, it means doing something about it. And Myrna is finding great joy and renewal as she is being obedient to the call of God in her life. So, how about you? Listening for and being obedient to God's call in our lives is crucial for living the abundant life Jesus came to offer. And let me say this, there are many calls over a lifetime. Some of those calls can be as simple as picking up the phone to check on someone who is in need of a friend. Others are standing up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. Still others are a call to leadership. There are many calls for many seasons of our lives. And here's the good news. God does not call us to be perfect. Sometimes the call will be hard. In fact, it can be terrifying. But here is the thing. The call of God requires us not to do it all on our own, but to rely on God as we take a step forward and then another step and another step on this terribly wonderful journey, knowing that God is with us every step of the way. I called Toni this week and asked her to remind me again of what God taught her during that terribly wonderful time of her recovery from the stroke. She said that she had received the gift of silence so that she would be able to hear and see more clearly. An example she gave me was one day she looked out on her patio where she saw a rose bush which she had been unable to attend to. It was filled with dead roses and wilting leaves, but there was one rose that had not died. She said it was beautiful, exquisite, but not perfect. And then she heard that still small voice within say, "What's perfect? You don't have to be perfect to be full of beauty." How wonderful it would be, she said, if we could see everything that comes our way as a gift. That was a pivotal moment of calling for her, to remember that you don't have to be perfect to say yes when God calls. This journey of faith is one filled with pain and joy, with faith and fear, with wonder and sometimes with terror. The question is, are you willing to go where God leads? I'd like to close our time now with a prayer that's attributed to a 15th century mystic, St. Teresa of Avila, who says these words, and I'll have them up on the screen. May today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. Next slide. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. May it be so. And the people of God said, amen and amen.